In case you were wondering if Tony Khan was ever going to use Britt Baker again, they were in Pittsburgh tonight, and they had the women in the main event. No Britt Baker. So that should answer your question right there. Chris Statlander is the brand new AEW Women's World Champion. She won the four-way at All Out this past weekend, and tonight she had her first title defense against Mina Shirakawa in the main event. Of course, she didn't lose her title in her first defense because that would be very stupid. But it was about the angle that came after the match. Because Chris Statlander has been courted by the Death Riders now for many, many weeks. And Wheeler Yuta in particular has been coming out to try to give her advice. And she actually won the championship with the seatbelt pinning combination. And so, is she or is she not going to go heel? Is she or is she not going to join the Death Riders? We won't have to worry about dragging this out any longer because we got our answer at the end of the show tonight. We got our answer at the end of the show when she rejected the Death Riders. She said, no, I will not join. This was her DDP on Nitro moment when DDP rejected the New World Order. If DDP had rejected the New World Order in front of 2,600 people, big difference there. It's kind of like an apples and oranges type scenario there, but the idea was the same. And Chris Statlander says, no, I will not join. And she runs off into the crowd and actually flips off Jon Moxley and the entire crew. Darby Allin comes out. He's got a flamethrower. Threatens to burn them alive. And then we get the challenge for WrestleDream. Because if you watched All Out, it was pretty clear that that was not going to be the end of things between Jon Moxley and Darby Allin. And so now we know that at WrestleDream next month, they will have their rematch. And it will be an I Quit match. I thought it was going to be something like an Inferno match or something. But I guess in an I Quit match, there are no rules. So if Darby wants to use the flamethrower, if he wants to set somebody on fire, or himself end up on fire, then I guess it's all legal in an I Quit match. So we already have that match now official for the next pay-per-view. Orange Cassidy is back. You could have figured that out based on the little tease they gave you at All Out. But well, they made it official tonight. He is back. We know Eddie Kingston is back. Eddie Kingston was not back on Dynamite. He was nowhere to be found on the show. You're going to have to watch Collision if you want to see Eddie Kingston. He's going to be teaming with Hook against Big Bill and Brian Keith. Jurassic Express reunited at All Out. You didn't find them on the show tonight either. They're saving them for next week because next week is the 6-year anniversary episode of Dynamite. So they are saving some of that for the show next week, but really tonight was about Tony Khan's big announcement. We found out over the weekend that Tony Khan, it's been a while since he's done this. We found out that Tony Khan was going to be making a very important announcement on Dynamite this week. What would it be? We'll see if they get any kind of ratings bump from this, which is why he does them. But the announcement was what I and a lot of other people figured, which is that we are getting women's tag team titles very soon. He didn't give an exact date. He did say, I think, between now and the end of the year. So get ready for another tournament. But we are getting women's tag team titles. I'm very indifferent towards the announcement because I expected it. Everybody should have expected it. He told you it was coming. The belts have been made for at least a year. They've been sitting in an office or in a vault somewhere. So we knew they were coming. It was only a matter of time. That part of it wasn't surprising. I'll say this, and then I'll say more later, but I'm not as cold on it as I am, for example, WWE, still trying to make something of their women's tag team titles. That being said, does this company need more championships? Absolutely not. And it really hit me watching that main event when Mina came out and she had a Ring of Honor title on her. And had Justin Roberts not specified in his opening introduction, I would have been like, what the fuck is that? I forgot that Red Velvet is hurt and she's the television champion in Ring of Honor. So they made an interim title. So Mina is walking around with an interim Ring of Honor championship. Everybody has a championship in this company. Mercedes has 9 of them. Only one of them, of course, belonged to AEW, but still. I mean, there's belts all over this show every single week, so you get no argument out of me if you believe that this company actually needs less belts and not more. But again, that being said, I'm not totally sour on the announcement. I'm not going to sit here and shit all over it, because I actually think AEW is in a much better position than WWE is right now to even have women's tag team titles. In WWE, they are completely useless. In AEW, they may end up being completely useless, but there's actually a chance that they could be used for good. There's a chance that they could be used, because the backbone is already there of a division. WWE has no division. But at least here, if it's done right, and of course that's the caveat here, if it's done right, it could also be used as a way to really get over some new women's feuds that really have nothing to do with the two singles championships that they have. So again, I'll get into the announcement and everything else that happened on this show. We don't yet have a number one contender for Hangman Page. We have kind of a sense of where it may be going. Really hit me, though. I don't get the sense that they have a really good plan for Hangman. MJF is probably going away for a little bit. We got a promo from him on the show tonight that was taped after his tables and tax match with Mark Briscoe. That certainly gave the indication he's going away for a little bit. We're not going to see him at Wrestle Dream and who knows about Full Gear. It just seems to me that until the time comes that he comes back and he's ready to cash in that contract that he has, I don't really get the feeling that Tony Khan has a lot of really great ideas on what to do with Hangman Page. We'll see. But this didn't inspire a lot of confidence in me tonight. On the whole, I thought that it was a solid show. I mean, I didn't think it was anything terribly exciting, to be honest with you, but it was solid enough. We'll get into everything that happened here. This is your AEW Dynamite Review. It is Wednesday, September 24th, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open. We got a brand new one. Brand new $15 one. And of course, channel memberships as well. And I got to give a shout out here to 5 gifted memberships. Is that Jamie? I believe it was. I believe it was Jamie. Jamie Hillier, thank you for the gifted memberships. You're awesome. Very much appreciated. And whoever got those, the recipients of the 5 gifted memberships, you could thank Jamie for that. D Solo says, why is Hangman having nothing matches? Hence why it certainly feels like there's not a whole lot of really great ideas for Hangman right now. We'll get into Hangman's match. He actually defended the championship on this show. But they opened with Brody King and Bandido defending their AEW tag team titles. Actually had a lot of championship matches on this show tonight. They defended the titles against the Gates of Agony with Ricochet at ringside doing commentary. Now, Ricochet said that they were due for a shot at the Trios titles, but Katsuyori Shibata is not medically cleared after his loss to Daniel Garcia on the pre-show. See, I knew he lost to Daniel Garcia. I didn't waste my time with the pre-show because it's just not worth it. But they wrestled on the pre-show on Saturday, and there were some things that happened. There was a pile driver, curb stomp. So supposedly he's not medically cleared to travel. So they're going to have to put their aspirations of becoming Trios champions aside. But in place of that, they were gifted a shot at the World Tag Team titles. Okay. So Bandido made his case for Brody to let him start. Toa Leona just swatted him away. Gates of Agony picked apart the Ring of Honor World Champion, I should point out. Speaking of belts, we got Ring of Honor belts all over these shows, too. And we got the Ring of Honor World Champion being swatted away here by Toa Leona. And he got picked apart for a while until eventually he made the hot tag to Brody King. He lit up Bishop Khan and Leona with chops and jabs. King posted Toa Leona before mowing Bishop Khan down with a lariat for 2. Brody wanted a superplex. He got hung up, though, in a tree of woe, allowing Leona to hit a splash and a diving headbutt for a near fall. That took us into the commercial break. Returning from the break, King was in trouble. And Bandido got launched off the apron. And that brief delay allowed King to dodge some attacks. He looked for a tag, and then he realized that Bandido was not there. So he squashed Leona with a corner cannonball instead. Bandido recovered. He made the tag. He started dancing to play some mind games. I guess that was the idea here. Got to play mind games with your opponents. Khan, though, tried a blindside, but he got pressed over Bandito's head and slammed onto Toa Leona, who was down in the corner. Bandito wanted a 21-plex, not knowing that Bishop made the blind tag, so we got some locomotion corner splashes that led to an attempted double superplex. Brody returned, and we got a double electric chair. King and Leona, they brawled at ringside, where King missed a crossbody against the barricade. Leona launched King over the timekeeper's table, and with Aubrey Edwards' attention diverted, Ricochet got in the ring, and he got a chair. And Ricochet tried to use the chair. Aubrey got back over, and she caught him, and she promptly ejected him from ringside. Bandito got an inside cradle for two. Bishop Khan was up, though. He threw a wild lariat. Gates of Agony hit their open the gates finish, but King saved it. Leona got wiped out with a Brody tope, and Bandito hit the 21-plex at the same time on Bishop to get the pin and to retain the tag team titles. Solid opener. The right team won. The right team won. King and Bandito were just a better team than the Gates of Agony. Gates of Agony are not at their level. You could argue, why do the match in the first place if you were just going to beat them after they got that win over the Hurt Syndicate? And I agree, I would not have thrown them into this match, but it feels like the Trios titles are probably coming to them soon. I don't know. I mean, with the Shibata thing, I don't know if there's a legitimate injury there. I mean, my sense is that it's all, you know, storyline oriented. Otherwise, they could always run this back later on with a better story, since this had none, but the better team won. And they should keep the belts on Brody and Bandito until you're ready to have them drop the titles to one of the top heel teams. And then I assume the eventual plan is to get the belts on Copeland and Christian. I do still think that is the long-term goal. Long-term could be 6 months. Long-term could be 4 months. Long-term could be 9 months. I don't know, but those belts are going to find their way around Copeland and Christian's waist at some point. Possibly with them beating FTR. FTR may yet get those belts. And they may drop those belts to Cope and Christian. Maybe it's the Young Bucks and not FTR. Whatever the case may be, this was the right move to make here. Gates of Agony, I mean, the way I look at it is this. Where were the Gates of Agony 6 months ago? Were they even on Collision? Maybe Collision. Probably toiling in Ring of Honor. Their stock is higher now than it was 6 months ago, right? There's still work to be done. But them being in this group with Ricochet, they're getting consistent television time now every Wednesday. Whereas 6 months ago, 9 months ago, it's like they weren't even allowed on the show. So, you know, as long as they just stay the course with them and they don't give up on them, they're heading in the right direction. I'm not too worried about them. I do think that you can get the Trios titles on them at some point. So this was fine for what it was. Backstage, we go to Alicia Atout, and she was with the Conglomeration. Mark Briscoe yelled that he wanted Don Callis to bring his heavy hitters tonight because he was bringing his. Alicia asked who their partner would be because, remember, they had this mystery partner. Not so mystery partner that they were teasing for this match here. And so she wanted to know who the partner would be, and Briscoe said the word of the day is mystery. It's a mystery why some of the things happen on the show the way they do. No matter how hard you try to appeal or how hard you squeeze, he woke up and asked himself, aren't you glad that there's so many Conglomeration members to choose from? Briscoe said the future is so bright, I put on my shades. To make my decision, and he pulled out they all pulled out shades and they put them on. So then they left, and Kyle O'Reilly called Alicia Jane. Gee, I wonder who it could be. I wonder who the mystery partner could be here in this match later on tonight. It certainly wasn't me. I had people sending me messages going, hey, are you going to be on Dynamite tonight? I said, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Buzz off. It wasn't me. Renee was backstage with the new AEW Women's Champion, Chris Statlander. Quickly interrupted, though, by Harley Cameron, who was doing her very over-the-top intro here for Statlander. Renee asked about Statlander's association with the Death Riders. And... oh, my goodness. Poor Kyrie. Poor Kyrie. Was that Oz and Glorious? I think it was. Breaking in the new Kyrie Super Chat. There he is. Thank you, Oz. Scare the shit out of me, why don't you? So Renee asked about her association with the Death Riders, and after a long pause, Statlander looked at her, saying that things can move pretty fast when you make decisions. That was the same line that Jon Moxley said after Daniel Garcia joined the Death Riders. So again, wanting you to believe, tonight might be the night. Thomas says, Jesus, that scared the fuck out of me. Good. Don't blame me. Blame Asuka. She's crashing out all over the place. She's crashing out on Dynamite here. They had an open challenge. Yes, an open challenge for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship, with Hangman Adam Page defending against the Ring of Honor Pure Champion, Lee Moriarty. And I believe they pointed out on commentary that he is the longest reigning Pure Champion in Ring of Honor history. Do you care? Does that matter to you? Doesn't matter to me. But they were doing this because they were in his hometown. Britt Baker cannot get on the show. She's not allowed on the show. She's banned from the show, even though they were in Pittsburgh. But Lee Moriarty is from Pittsburgh, and so he got himself a World Heavyweight Championship match here on this show. So look, I get it. The idea is that Hangman wants to be a fighting champion, I guess. And it makes me think back. You know, I talk about Bret Hart a lot. And I think back to when Bret was the champion in the early days of Monday Night Raw. And he was a fighting champion. I remember him defending his title against Samu of the Hedge Drinkers. And you would ask yourself, even as I did in my younger days, why is Bret Hart defending the world championship against Samu of the Hedge Shrinkers? I didn't really have a good answer for it, but I was a big Bret fan, so it didn't bother me. And then you look like later on, he had that classic television match against the 1-2-3 Kid for the championship, which is still talked about to this day. It's a great fucking match. We didn't get that here, but the idea of having a fighting world champion is not some new concept. If you want to use the gimmick to elevate someone, so be it. What I would say and what I would ask is that don't abuse it and don't make this a weekly thing. Yeah, where we're going to have the World Heavyweight Championship now defended in open challenges. We have enough open challenges as it is. We are having an open challenge on Saturday. Kyle Fletcher is defending the TNT Championship in an open challenge against Commander. And Commander's comeback match, he's been injured for a few months. You want to do open challenges with the TNT title, you want to do open challenges with the TBS title, be my guest. But if you're going to do them with the World Heavyweight Championship, they should be few and far between. I'm sure Pittsburgh was the tie-in here, wanting to get Moriarty a big match against the world champion on this show. Moriarty is not going anywhere on AEW television. You know, it's not like he's someone who's on the precipice, kind of like Kyle Fletcher. It all out. He's one of those guys where he's right there on the precipice. He's not ready yet because they have other names. They have bigger names than him. This is not his time, but you could see one day his time may come, and he had a great match with Hangman on Saturday. Great. Don't make a habit out of this. Don't do open challenges with the top championship in the company on a regular basis. Every now and then, fine. But beyond that, it doesn't need to happen. Bryan Danielson put over Moriarty on commentary and how he's beaten technical masters like Nigel McGuinness and his favorite Blue Demon or Blue Panther. Did I say Blue Demon? Is it Blue Panther? Blue Panther, not Blue Demon. Maybe he beat them both. Maybe he beat them in a handicap match. But he got the hometown crowd, I will say, to bite on some of these near falls. But this went as you would expect it to go. And some people are going to, you know, be upset about how, you know, Hangman, it took him 10 minutes or 9 minutes, whatever it was, to beat Lee Moriarty. Whatever. I mean, this was not going to be a squash. If it was going to be a squash match, then there was no point in even doing it. You really thought that they were going to send this guy out there in his hometown to get squashed by the babyface champion? I mean, come on. How long have you been watching wrestling for? It was as competitive as it needed to be without being overly competitive. They gave him some near falls and some hope spots, and in the end, Hangman didn't even need to use the buckshot. He didn't even need to break out the buckshot lariat to win. I didn't have any problem with that. But Moriarty countered a deadeye into an octopus stretch, transitioned into the Border City stretch. Hangman rolled out. He tried a deadeye again. This time, though, he swung for the fences during the counter to turn Moriarty inside out with a lariat. And then finally, he hit the deadeye. And he got the pin. See? So he won with the deadeye. I named the wrong blue luchador. Yes. Blue Demon is old school. That's what I said, man. That'd be very impressive. If he could beat Blue Demon, you know what? I would be very impressed with Lee Moriarty. You want to get my attention. That would get my attention. Then you could put him in whatever open challenge title matches you want. Yeah, it's true. Temjin. Shout out to Temjin. He says, just like Sammy didn't use the Huluva kick on SmackDown. He won with the Blue Thunderbomb, I think. That's fine. I'd like to see more of this. You don't always have to win with that one finish when you have that signature setup move. So this lasted just under 10 minutes. It was competitive enough to make Moriarty look like he could hang. That's all they really needed to do. But you know what? The open challenge stuff, I don't know if this is going to be a consistent thing with Hangman on TV. But if it is, I would at least hope that they could use it to, you know, going forward, if they're going to do it, use it to set up a challenger for the next pay-per-view. You know, Wrestle Dream, or if they do another one of these in October, maybe, you know, have him do it for 2 weeks, but that second week it's with someone who ends up being his challenger at Full Gear. Again, I'm just spitballing here if they insist on continuing to do this. Maybe it was a one-night thing. It should be a one-night thing. But at least if they were going to use it to set up, you know, an eventual challenger for him in a big pay-per-view match, then at least there's a reason for it. But based on what we saw later in the show, it looks like Hangman is headed for more Death Riders bullshit. We'll get to that a little bit later. We got footage of Renee backstage at All Out, wanting comments from Adam Copeland following his wife, Beth, in her debut, taking a spike pile driver from FTR. He said, though, I can't talk right now. So he walked into the dressing room and he frantically starts to pack up his luggage. Christian is standing there with an ice pack on his neck. And he asked Copeland, what's the plan? And Copeland said, look, I don't know if I could do this anymore. You know, this is my family. My family is involved now. I don't know if I can do this anymore. Right now, I got to go be with my family. And Cage told him, go take care of his family. And he said that he doesn't have a family anymore. Copeland said, no, you're wrong. That's not true. You do. And he extended his hand for a handshake. Christian shook his hand. Copeland left the arena to go tend to his wife. So it looks like Copeland is going away for a while. Everyone seems to be vanishing. MJF is going to go away for a little while. Copeland now is going to go away for a little while. Was it like the off season for them? Come back, see in 3 months. So he's going away, which honestly is just as well. It'll give Christian now a chance to try to wrap up this stuff with the matriarchy, and he can have that match that he never had with Nick Wayne once Nick Wayne is medically cleared to come back, finish out his issues there. I also want to address something that I saw going around on social media. People are fantasy booking that Copeland is leaving AEW. They seem to be under the impression that his contract is up next month. And my understanding is that his contract is up in October of next year, not this year. But even if it was coming up soon, if you remember, Adam Copeland broke his leg at Double or Nothing last year, and he missed a lot of time. Okay, he's got a lot of injury time that Tony Khan could tack onto his deal. If Tony Khan even suspected that this man was going to leave and go right back to WWE to wrestle John Cena in his retirement match, So I know it makes for a nice fantasy scenario. Oh, what if Edge is coming back and he's going to wrestle John Cena on Saturday night's main event in December? No. His wife just debuted and they shot this major angle with him and his wife, and his best friend still works there. You think he's leaving and running back to WWE to do one fucking match with John Cena and then what? And then retire? I just love how people, they let their imaginations run wild. Maybe they're trying to manifest something. I don't know. But let's put that shit to bed right now. Okay? It makes for a nice fantasy conversation. Maybe we'll try to do that and be the booker. If we even hit the goal tonight. We'll see. Maybe we can book John Cena and Edge and be the booker. That's the only place you're going to see it. Tony Schiavone was in the ring to welcome FTR. He said what they did to Beth Copeland on Saturday is the worst thing that he has ever seen in an AEW ring. Really? Worse than the Nightmare Collective? Worse than the ending to that exploding barbed wire death match? I mean, Schiavone's been there from day one. I'm a little disappointed here. I mean, he's got short-term memory. We've seen far worse. Cash Wheeler said that they deserve every bit of the booze that they're receiving because they were showering them with booze. We deserve it. We deserve it. Our actions at All Out have kept us up at night. That was never our intention. It was to end Copeland's career. That was their goal. Send him into retirement. But Copeland couldn't stand that. Instead, he brought his childhood friend and his wife into the picture, and it's Copeland who's responsible for us dropping his wife on her micro brawler head. Stokely Hathaway spoke next. He said he forgives Beth for what she did to him at All Out. He wasn't running up the ramp to attack her. He was running up there to shake her hand. But he received a spear instead, which didn't hurt. Stokely was going to kip up, but he was carried to the back, and he ultimately allowed Beth to spear him. Copeland and Christian needed Beth to win their match, but the worst thing of all is that Beth doesn't even work here. And then Dax Harwood, he refuses to apologize to Copeland and Christian for dropping them on their CTE-riddled brains, but he will apologize to Beth. Despite Beth punching Harwood in his broken nose, and it watered his eyes and it made him think that Beth was her husband, leading FTR to drop her on her head, he would never put his hands on a woman. And with Beth, he uses that term very loosely. So then Willow Nightingale interrupts. Not the person I was expecting to come out here. But Willow Nightingale comes out, gets into the ring with them. She said that if FTR wrestled as good as they lie, they could have won their match at All Out. She said that she's out to talk about a Hall of Famer in Beth Copeland. She was inspired by Beth. Beth is the reason why she became a wrestler. Women like Beth are why she became or why she came back from a broken freaking neck to do things like win the Owen and win the TBS title. And Beth is the reason that she doesn't take shit from guys like FTR. Everybody pop big for that line. She tells them to try their apology with more sincerity or get out of the ring. Stokely said it's past Willow's bedtime and said there's episodes of the Proud Family that she... I almost said the Proud Boys. The Proud Family. Oh my God, can you imagine? That's a very, very different gimmick there for Willow Nightingale. The Proud Family. She could go home and watch that. Willow slapped the hell out of Stokely before Jetspeed sprinted out to the ring. FTR, they faked leaving before taking a cheap shot, but they ate super kicks for their troubles instead. And Stokely was pulled to safety before Willow could do any damage to him. I have to say, you know, Willow is I've noticed this before, but we don't really get to see her in this type of environment on Dynamite very often, where she's coming out and she's, you know, cutting a promo live in the ring. She's a very good promo. She just has a certain confidence in her delivery that not everybody has. So not only is she a very good wrestler, but I think she's very good on the microphone as well. Frankly, better than either of the women's singles champions they have right now. You know, even if they give Statlander some time with the title before she eventually hands it off to Ms. Monet, I would like to see them run that match back with her and Statlander. And I'm not even saying one of them has to go heel. after tonight. Obviously, Statlander is not going to go heel, and I think that's the right move. But even if it was a, you know, face against face type of situation, I mean, they had that great Chicago street fight last year at All Out. I would love to see one of Statlander's title defenses come against Willow. I hope we're able to get that at some point before Statlander loses the championship. I mentioned MJF a little while ago. He was not live on the show. But what we got here, I laughed at that line from Stokely. Stokely is very funny. Stokely is a very entertaining guy. But MJF had post-match comments after his loss to Mark Briscoe in the tables and tax match at All Out. And he was sitting down on the steps in some staircase backstage, all bloodied and battered. He said that he was so angry right now, but he just doesn't have the energy to yell anymore. Not long ago, he was the biggest name in wrestling. Then Adam Cole came into his life. Then he broke his ankle, and as sappy as it may sound, he also broke MJF's heart. Then he lost his AEW world title, he lost his mojo, and he went and he rehabbed. And he says that he still accomplished more than anyone could dream of in this period of time, but something is missing. He's just playing MJF. He's made too many mistakes. The tacks in his body represent doubts. He can't come back until he can look in the mirror and not see a fraud. Will Ospreay, Swerve Strickland, and Hangman Page, they were once in his dust, but now he's in theirs. He won't come back until he's the most dangerous that he's ever been. He's going to come back and do things the only way he knows how, whether you like it or not, his way. So there it is. Tony Khan confirmed he's going to be paying for Frank Sinatra's My Way when MJF comes back on TV. We're going to hear some old Blue Eyes. Hook has his crooner music, and now MJF is going to come back to some Sinatra when he comes back. Now, remember, he's got that guaranteed contract. He has to give at least a week's advance notice, right? No more of this money in the bank, cash in whenever you want to bullshit. But he's got the guaranteed contract, so, I mean, he could stay out as long as he wants. He's going to go right back to the world title picture. What that means for Hangman in the meantime is that Tony Khan has to come up with some compelling challengers for him. And, you know, if MJF disappears for a while, and we know Copeland is as well, although Copeland wasn't in the, you know, like main event mix, but this is where it really hurts, not having a Will Ospreay, not having a Swerve Strickland on the roster. Okada and Takeshita, they're kind of doing their thing for the unified title soon. It leaves Hangman in this position where he just, it's cold, you know? He doesn't have that one great villain that he could match up with, like, what Swerve was to him. He doesn't have that right now. What MJF is to him, he doesn't have that right now. Not yet. We know it's coming, but it's not going to be coming for a while. And that's the problem. Like, they don't seem to have anybody else who can really fill that void for a few months where you really get this compelling story or compelling program with them for the world championship. So we get an open challenge tonight, and then it looks like he may be wrestling a member of the Death Riders possibly at the next pay-per-view. And it's like, come on. I mean, this is your world champion here. You got to be able to do better than that. So, I mean, I'm sure if I sat here with a fine-tooth comb and I went through the AEW men's roster, we can come up with some names that we would like to see him in the ring with. But whether they're going to do that or not, I don't know, because he's still associating with the Ops and the Death Riders. It's like what happened at All Out, we're just kind of continuing on from there. But this is where not having those two guys really hurts. For all the talent they have on the roster, right? They have no shortage of people to plug in there. But not having those two is noticeable right now when it comes to Hangman and that world title. Now back in the arena, Kazuchika Okada, Konosuke Takeshita, and Hechicero made their way out to the ring accompanied by Don Callis. Rocky Romero and Lance Archer were there as well. Callis said that he was a world-class painter, along with leading the greatest faction in professional wrestling. And they showed some of his past pieces of him, the paintings, him with Jericho and him with Kenny Omega, the last one of him and Kyle Fletcher. He said that he's been working tirelessly over the last 6 days and 6 nights on his latest masterpiece. And then he instructed some gentleman from the back to roll it on out, and he had them unveil the painting, but it turned out to be Orange Cassidy walking through the frame, walking through the paint. It's like he walked out of the painting the way they did this, which was kind of cool. But this was his big return here. So he walks out of the painting, and then the funniest part about this, on the screen, on the Tron behind him, initially they put Orange Cassidy, like his Titantron, for lack of a better word. And within a few seconds, it crashed. It crashed, and we got a media offline message on a red screen, like a red alert type message, media offline in English and then multiple other languages. It was basically the blue screen of death, only it was red. So Rocky Romero came charging towards Orange Cassidy. He just very casually sidestepped him. Rocky ran through the painting. And then finally out comes Mark Briscoe in hologram to join Cassidy for this trios match here. This was Orange Cassidy's return, by the way, after his pec tear, which was back in March. That's why he was gone for so long. So this was his grand return. And he got a good reaction. I mean, nothing overwhelming or anything. So while Cassidy's music kept playing, he had a few drop kicks with the hands in the pockets on Takeshita and Okada, who were able to send Cassidy outside. But Briscoe and Hologram, they hit stereo dives. And then Cassidy just fell from the top rope onto the pile on the floor. Then the bell rang. So the match hadn't even started yet. Now the match is officially underway. And honestly, a lot of the match was really Hologram and Hechicero. The other names got involved towards the finishing stretch. Cassidy tagged in. He hugged his former Chaos buddy. Him and Okada, they were part of Chaos for a while in New Japan. Because technically, Cassidy was technically a member. Is Chaos even still a thing? Does it still exist? I don't know. So no? Okay, so Chaos, I guess, is disbanded. I'm being told Chaos is no longer... We're living in Chaos. Yes, we are. But I guess we don't, yeah, it's true. I guess we don't need the faction anymore. The world just seems to be in chaos every single day. We're all members of Chaos now. So like I said, Cassidy tagged in and he hugged Okada before planting him with a Stun Dog Millionaire. Okada did not reciprocate the hug, by the way. Cassidy tried one on Takeshita, but he got caught and he got passed off to Okada, who delivered an air raid crash across the knee. Hologram tried a springboard, but he jumped into an Okada flapjack before Okada and Takeshita, they had a little face-off. It was interrupted by the Cassidy little kicks, which led to a double Hurricanrana. Hechicero cut off Cassidy, who came back with a spinning DDT. Okada flew in with a shotgun dropkick. Briscoe, though, planted him with a DDT. Takeshita was in with a power drive knee. He caught Hologram in a bastard driver, and then held on, but Hologram countered into a destroyer. Hechicero wanted a mad scientist bomb on Hologram, who floated out of it. Cassidy flew in with an orange punch, which allowed Hologram to plant Hechicero with a portal bomb for the win. Now, after the match, the protostar walks out onto the stage. So Kyle Fletcher is out there, the TNT champion, the loser of the main event at All Out. He said that on Saturday, he proved that he belonged in the main event. He proved that he belonged in the tippy top of the industry. Fletcher said that he might not have been ready that night, but he would be very soon. He said Hangman was right about one thing, though. The next day was the worst he's ever felt. So then he remembered who he was, which is the greatest TNT champion of all time. Fletcher turned his attention to Hologram. And he called his win streak of 34 wins and no losses 34 and scared of Kyle Fletcher. Fletcher said his streak is not only or is only as long as it is because he's never faced him before. And he challenged Hologram to a match on the show next week. Title versus streak. I don't know why he didn't just say title versus mask. Fuck the streak. Just rip the mask off the guy. But it'll be title versus streak. He said when he ends his streak, Hologram will have to say his full name. That is, of course, if Kyle Fletcher can keep his championship, because as I mentioned before, he's got a an open challenge on Collision this Saturday. We got open challenges all over the place. We got open challenges on SmackDown. We got open challenges on Dynamite. We got open challenges on Collision. I may have an open challenge here on the stream one week. Anybody who wants to take the seat, come get it. Who wants it? This week's episode is sponsored by Green Chef. Summer's over, and that means fall is upon us, my favorite season, mainly because Halloween is my favorite holiday, and that means it's not far behind. That doesn't mean I like stuffing my face with candy corn, though. I don't. In fact, now that the grill is off and the burgers and hot dogs are gone, it gives me a chance to hit the reset button and get back to eating healthy. And with Green Chef, the number one meal kit for clean eating, I can do just that. And you can too. Green Chef makes it easy to spend less time in the kitchen and more time enjoying the fall. And with their new Heat and Eat meals, you can enjoy a delicious meal in just 3 minutes. Green Chef recipes feature fresh, organic, seasonal produce and 100% responsibly sourced proteins to help you feel your best. We're talking real, clean ingredients that help you build lasting, healthy habits without the hassle. Enjoy salads ready in just 5 minutes, protein-filled breakfasts, or nutrient-filled smoothies to fuel your day. With more than 80 dietitian-approved weekly meal options, Green Chef makes it easy to find meals that fit your lifestyle, from Mediterranean and gluten-free to plant-based and protein-heavy to gut and brain health and calorie-smart options, too. The recipes change every week, and with week-to-week flexibility, you can just adjust your plan to match your mood and your schedule. I've tried Green Chef myself, so I can speak to the quality of the meals that I've had delivered to my doorstep. One of my favorite meals I've had was their chicken with basil pea stew, with roasted red peppers and jasmine rice. Just delicious. And you look at some of their upcoming meals on their menu. Pork fillet with lemon dill sauce is a great high-protein option. Or maybe you're a fan of the baked lemon pepper tilapia with feta, if you're counting those calories. Whatever you're in the mood for, they've got it. And as far as getting everything together, it couldn't be easier. They list out everything you need, any food allergens you need to know about, which is important. Even better, it saved me a ton of time before getting ready to go live and talk some wrestling with you guys, since I only have so much time in the evening before getting ready to go to work. But even if you're a 9-to-5 person and your night is wide open, you're probably tired when you get home. The last thing you want to be doing is spending an hour or two getting dinner ready, right? Green Chef takes care of that for you. Make this fall your healthiest yet with Green Chef. Head to greenchef.com/50solomonster and use code 50solomonster to get 50% off your first month, then 20% off for 2 months with free shipping. That's code 50solomonster at greenchef.com/50solomonster. So assuming he can beat Commander on Saturday, the winner of that match will then defend the title against Hologram on the 6-year anniversary episode of Dynamite next week. Now, initially, I was surprised that they would have Hologram take the pin here, get the pin, and not Cassidy, since it was Cassidy's return. But then watching what they did after the match, then it made sense. That streak better be coming to an end next week. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if Kyle Fletcher went in there at All Out to lose to Hangman Page, and then in his very next match, he loses the TNT Championship to fucking Hologram, then Tony Khan is a few fries short of a happy meal. We'll just say that. But no, I mean, what's going to happen here is we've been getting these little teaser videos, these little vignettes for this evil version of Hologram, right? We got this evil version of Hologram that they're calling Klon. C-L-O-N. And they aired another one tonight. It was very brief. But it's like an evil version of him, which is kind of an old lucha tradition, right? Pentagon, octagon. I mean, it's not like this is anything new. So I would imagine that we're going to get the debut of this clone. Is it called Klon? Am I pronouncing it right? Or do we call it clone, but it's spelled C-L-O-N? Help me out here. I keep calling it Klon, but I'm like, what a dumb fucking name that is. Like, I'll just call him Clone. That's Spanish for the Klon. What? Is it the Klon? I don't know. I'm going to call him the Clone. The Clone is going to cost him the TNT title next week. And then Tony Khan can book his little Marvel fantasy here on the show. And have Hologram against the Clone. I feel like, because he's talked about how, like, he had this idea as a kid, right? That's where Hologram comes from. That when he was a child, right? Hologram was, like, his guy in his head. Like, legit. Like, this is him playing out his childhood fantasies here on the television show. So I don't know if maybe, if the clone was also part of those childhood fantasies. I don't know. I mean, maybe he had a whole federation of people made up in his head. And now, you know, they're going to start to just debut here and there on television. Okay, clon is Spanish for clone. I'm just saying, so it is pronounced that way. Okay, I just want to make, supposed to, no, okay, Temjin says it's supposed to be pronounced clone. El clone? Clone A, says Brandon. It's clone. Okay, fuck all of you, it's clone. We're going to see the clone next week, the clown. Maybe the clown will be there next week. Let's move on from this. I'm spending way too much time talking about fucking Hologram. Anyway, they'll probably build up Orange Cassidy soon as a challenger for the TNT title. We got a video package that was narrated by Jack Perry with footage that led into the reunion that we saw it all out of Jurassic Express and everybody waving their arms and singing to Baltimore's Tarzan Boy. They were not on the show tonight, but this was to announce that they will be on the show next week. So Jurassic Express will be back on Dynamite on the 6-year anniversary episode of Dynamite next Wednesday. Yes, in his coloring book. In his coloring book, yes. El Hijo del Clone. We had Claudio Castagnoli against Powerhouse Hobbs up next. Hobbs, this is like meat madness here in this match. Hobbs charged right at the bell. Claudio responded with some uppercuts. It happened for so long that both men were stumbling before Hobbs started dishing out some body slams. He got three of them until Claudio floated over into a back suplex, which Hobbs no-sold. And then he ramped up the body slams again. Claudio went at the eyes, and both men tumbled to the outside. So Hobbs charged, Claudio moved, and Hobbs ended up crashing into the ring steps outside. We got a brutal back suplex onto the edge of the barricade, the top part of the barricade that had Hobbs falling back over into the crowd. Claudio repeated the spot again. This time Hobbs fell over back into the ringside area. That took us into picture-in-picture. So back from the commercial break, there was a gut wrench from Claudio that got a near fall. Hobbs came back with two corner splashes, but Claudio moved on the third one to take Hobbs up the ropes for a huge superplex. Claudio pointed at Bryan Danielson as he went for a neutralizer, but Hobbs escaped into a snap power slam. Hobbs once again went back to the body slams. Claudio, though, fought off during the fourth attempt. He absorbed lariats, Hobbs did, before cracking Claudio with one of his own. Then the straps were lowered by Powerhouse Hobbs. He lowers the straps, but Pac appears on the apron. And the only thing scary about Pac right now is his new haircut. Because I have to do a double take when I see this man now. He just looks so different. Fully clothed and with that hairdo, he doesn't look like the same person. I don't know what he looks like. He reminds me of somebody. I just can't put my finger on it. He reminds me of someone. But he's up on the apron. Hobbs got a hold of him, but that allowed Claudio to get an uppercut and an inside cradle for the win. So after the match, Samoa Joe runs out. Pac runs for his life. Hobbs recovers. He sends Claudio crashing to the floor outside. Joe starts stalking him down until Wheeler Yuta and Daniel Garcia, what a duo these two make, they run into attack. Pac returns. Now it's 4-on-2. Here comes Hangman Adam Page. They play his music. He power walks out to the ring. He low-bridged Claudio. He sent Garcia out over the top of the clothesline. And the world champion stood tall with the ops as the Death Riders retreated. They were having a fine big man match. Tons of power moves until the Death Riders got involved and then ruined it. And then all of a sudden the match was over. But the stuff that came before that was pretty good. If we get Hangman and Pac, the only acceptable outcome here if, let's say, the Wrestle Dream title match is Hangman Page against a member of the Death Riders, the only acceptable match is Hangman against Pac, who just came back, by the way, so even that wouldn't really make a lot of sense as far as him challenging for the world title, but let's just say it's Hangman and Pac. I'll allow it. That's the only acceptable match. Anything else, any other championship match involving Hangman and the Death Riders, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. That's going to be awful. Obviously, him and Moxley are not wrestling because Moxley is going to be wrestling somebody else. So what does that leave? It leaves Claudio, right? It leaves Wheeler Yuta. It leaves Daniel Garcia. And it leaves Pac. If it's going to be a member of the Death Riders, it has to be Pac. And I think that would be a great match. So, like I said, I'll allow it. But just the idea that Hangman is still dealing with the Death Riders, it's like, how long is that going to go on for? I mean, are we going to be getting into like MFTs and Jacob Fatu territory here where it's this never ending? I hope not. We're going to have to go through this until MJF is ready to cash in. They have announced a trios match, though, for the anniversary show next week. It's going to be Hangman, Samoa Joe, and Powerhouse Hobbs taking on Moxley, Claudio, and Daniel Garcia. Can you imagine if they do Hangman and Daniel Garcia for the championship at WrestleDream? I don't even want to think about that. Up next was Tony Khan's very important announcement. Ooh, we've been waiting all week for this. Tony Khan's got a big announcement to make. We've been waiting since All Out. So they send it backstage, and there's Tony. And he's standing there, and this is live. Now, in the past, they started doing some stuff pre-taped with him, which is really the way to go. But this was clearly live. And he's standing there, and he's got his headset around his neck, and he's got his mic in his hand, and it's all happy, and he says that he believes that AEW is truly where the best wrestle. And he's very proud of how strong the AEW women's division has been here in 2025. This year, coming soon, again, no specific date yet, but coming soon, they are going to be crowning the inaugural AEW Women's World Tag Team Champions. And then he pitched it to Renee. They were tag teaming here. He pitched it to Renee live in the arena to actually do the unveiling of the titles. And then, but before they cut to Renee, he gave this really cheesy, like, thumbs up. I think it was one thumb. I don't remember, but he gave this really cheesy thumbs up. He was very happy about this. Very enthusiastic, too much so. So they go out to the arena, and here we go. We're going to get the reveal of the new women's tag team titles. There they are. She pulled the tarp off to reveal a slightly smaller version of the men's tag team belt. And Renee said they look stunning. Stunning is not a word I would use to describe them. I might use stunning to describe Renee. I would not use stunning to describe these tag team belts. Although Mercedes just found herself two more belts to collect. Now, look, I know the last thing that we needed in this company were more belts. But let's not pretend that we didn't know that this was coming for months. Tony Khan said in the past, months ago, the belts were already made. They were in a vault somewhere in his office. But there were lots of injuries. The women's division was just besieged by injuries. And otherwise, we would have probably had this announcement a lot sooner, but he had to put those plans on the back burner. They've gotten some women back recently. They got Mina back. They got Harley Cameron back. There was somebody else who was hurt also who recently came back. And so if they're not at full strength, they're pretty close right now. Although Thunder Rosa is out and Athena's banged up. But that was the reason why we didn't get women's tag team titles announced many months ago. So this was not a surprise. The reality is most of the women in AEW, and this is why it doesn't bother me so much. If you look at most of the women right now in AEW, most of them are already paired up. They have a friend or they're part of a group. They're part of a trio. They're already partnered up. Like the hard work is already done as far as figuring out what teams you would even put in a tournament to compete for women's tag team titles. And that's the reason why I think the women's tag team titles in WWE are completely useless. Because for all the talk about the women's tag team division in WWE, there is no women's tag team division. It doesn't exist. They don't have enough real teams to comprise what I would consider to be a division. I mean, they are just useless for the most part. You can use them as a way, like they're doing now with Charlotte and Alexa, right? But Charlotte and Alexa and the story they're doing with the two of them, they don't really need the tag team titles, but they're using it to kind of further the friendship, right, on the air between the two of them. Maybe it'll lead somewhere down the road. But, like, who are they defending the titles against right now? Nobody. The belts are fucking useless. But, like, here in AEW, and I jotted this down. Maybe I'm missing a couple. You guys let me know. This is the list right now of women's tag teams. Some of them involve women who are also competitive as singles. So keep that. But that's just an unavoidable problem. I mean, you're going to have that. But, like, here. Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa. Now that Toni Storm is no longer the women's world champion, and even tonight on the show, Mina did a backstage interview and she was, I haven't been able to talk to Toni since she lost the title, but I fight for Toni. She's like Toni's best friend. So now that Toni is out of the world title picture for the time being, don't you think that you could see Toni Storm when she comes back going for the tag team titles and doing some stuff with Mina Shirakawa, even just temporarily? Right, Toni and Mina are a pairing. Chris Statlander and Harley Cameron are running around together. At some point, you can get Statlander and Willow Nightingale together. I'm sure they're going to be tag team champions down the road at some point. You've got Megan Bain and Penelope Forge. You've got Sky Blue and Julia Hart. You've got Anna Jay and Ty Mello. You've got Athena, who is banged up right now. That's the reason why we haven't seen her. So she hasn't necessarily been relegated back to Ring of Honor. She's banged up. So you've got Athena and you've got Billy Starks, right? They could be a team. I have a question. Does Deonna Purrazzo even work for this fucking company anymore? I think she does, but it's hard to tell. Assuming that Deonna Purrazzo does in fact still work for AEW, I thought that she was paired off still with Taya Valkyrie. So you can have Deonna Purrazzo and Taya Valkyrie. This may be the best news Deonna Purrazzo could have asked for. They may actually finally have a reason to use her on television. So you got her and Taya. You've got Mercedes, of course, who's going to want to go out and find a partner because she can sniff a new belt from fucking 50 miles away. You know she's going to want to go after those titles. She'll find a buddy and pair up with them. So I just named you like six or seven different potential teams there. And that may not even be all of them. I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of all this feuding that Tekla and Queen Aminata have been doing, if they end up as a tag team. So at least in this situation, right, because we know the belts are made, we know they're being introduced, there's nothing we can do about it. They're bringing in the women's tag team titles. At least they have actual tag teams. And maybe they can use those titles as a way to improve upon the stories, right, that they're doing right now and create new stories for a lot of those women, you know, many of whom are not a Toni Storm or a Chris Statlander or challenging for the Women's World Championship. You know, I'm trying to look at the potential positives of it. They have way too many titles in this company on television. They have way too many championships on the show. They got Ring of Honor titles and AEW titles and this title and that title. And WWE, frankly, is not much better. This is not just an AEW problem. So I agree. It just feels like there's so many fucking belts on these shows. It's ridiculous that it devalues the existing ones. But if you're going to introduce them, at least they actually have a division. I can't say that for WWE. They've had those tag team titles around now for, what, 4 years? And they are as useless now as they have ever been. At least AEW already has a leg up on them. But now the question is, what does Toni do, right, with these titles once he introduces them? That's a completely different story. We may be sitting here in 6 months going, man, these belts are a waste of time. I hope not. I hope they can use them for good. Because they do have a lot of talent in this division. Now, they close the show with Chris Statlander, who I just mentioned, making her first appearance as the new AEW Women's World Champion, her first defense here tonight, defending against Mina Shirakawa, who also had a belt when she came out. This goes to the point that I was just talking about. She walks out there. She has a Ring of Honor belt. She is the interim Ring of Honor television champion because Red Velvet has been injured. Now, I looked it up. I was curious. I was curious, when was the last time that Red Velvet wrestled a match? That will tell me how long she's been hurt. She has not wrestled since June. It is almost October. Why was it so important that you have to have an interim champion? You cannot take the title off of Red Velvet. Is she Kenny Omega? Is she Will Ospreay of the division there? Why is Red Velvet or the Ring of Honor women's television title so important? This woman's been out for months. She didn't stub her toe, obviously. Just take the championship from her. Strip her of the championship, crown a new champion. Why do we need an interim champion for this? It's so unnecessary. So Mina's out there, and if Justin Roberts didn't say anything, I would have looked at this and went, what the fuck? What is that? What belt is that? The Ring of Honor belts all look the same to me. So like I knew right away it was a Ring of Honor belt, but I'm like, what the fuck? When did she get a belt? Oh, man. Wheeler Yuta popped up at ringside before the match to give advice to Statlander, again, which he's done multiple times now. He was gone just as quickly. Bryan Danielson said that it was taking all of his strength not to go punch him in the face. We got a tilt-a-whirl leg sweep from Mina as she slid through a Statlander punch to do a dance, which resulted in Statlander blasting her from behind. Mina fired off 10 corner punches, but again, she danced a little too much. Statlander flew in with a shotgun dropkick. Mina sidestepped a corner charge. She wrenched the knee in the ropes before driving the knee from the apron to the floor. Statlander was sent repeatedly into the ring steps, and the champion, I guess I have to specify which champion I'm talking about. I'm talking about the world champion. She answered with a back suplex on the apron, and that took us into the final commercial break here of this show. Yes, this ain't the UFC. No, it is not. Ring of Honor is certainly not the UFC. You do not need interim champions for the Ring of Honor women's television title. Later on, both women traded finisher attempts. Glamorous Driver, Saturday Night Fever. They got cut off until Statlander hit her spinning Fisherman's Driver for a two count. Mina loaded up for a discus forearm and a roundhouse kick, but Statlander avoided the back fist. She tried an electric chair. Shirakawa escaped into the figure four. Statlander fought to the ropes to get the break as Mina went for a sling blade, but she ran into a thrust kick. We got discus forearms that decked Statlander, followed by the back fist. Mina went back for the figure four. Statlander, though, punted her with an up kick. And then the seatbelt pinning combination was used yet again by Statlander to great success because she was able to pick up the win here, get the flash pin. So the story here really came after the match was already over. After the match, Yuta came back and he was all hyped up for Statlander's win. Harley Cameron ran into the ring. She hugged Statlander. But you could feel something was off here because here comes Claudio and here comes Pac, and here comes Daniel Garcia. They surround the ring, and now we hear John Moxley's music. I thought we were going to get through the show without this guy. But we hear the Death Rider music, and he is on his way through the crowd with Marina Shafir. So something is about to happen, right? They're about to end the show with an actual angle, which I think was good, right? There were some weeks where they'll just throw a match out there, and then the show just ends. At least here, right, the big post-all-out episode of Dynamite, at least they're shooting an angle, right? A reasonably big angle here at the end. So they come out to the ring. And they're all applauding Statlander. Moxley gets in the ring. Yuta hugs Statlander and she reciprocated. And Yuta raises her hand and Harley Cameron is backed into the corner. She's looking all scared, like she doesn't know what's about to happen here, what's going on. And all of a sudden, Statlander blasts Wheeler Yuta with a clothesline. She ducked a charging Marina Shafir. She bailed into the crowd with Harley Cameron and flipped everybody off. And again, it feels so wrong to sit here and do this. It feels so wrong for me to sit here and even make this comparison. To compare this to that Nitro segment with DDP turning down the NWO's invitation to join, because that was an iconic moment in Nitro history, and it helped solidify DDP as a top name in that company. You know, obviously him working with Randy Savage is really what did it, but that was a big moment for him. You know, that really solidified him as the people's champion, and he went running into the crowd, and my God, that big crowd, and everyone's going nuts, and it was just this very memorable moment. So that helped solidify DDP as a top star. This was just Wednesday, and nobody is going to remember this a few weeks from now. That's the difference. But the general idea was the same. All of a sudden, we hear Darby Allin's music hit, and Darby walks out, and he's got a flamethrower, because of course he does. And Moxley is showing no fear, and he starts to walk towards him, but Darby aims the flamethrower at him, and he's backing the death, and now he's shooting it up into the air, and the Death Riders are slowly backing away, and they back off into the crowd. Darby gets the mic, he tells Moxley he's never going to quit. And he challenges John Moxley to an I Quit match at WrestleDream. As Moxley is left to contemplate this challenge, and that is how they went off the air. So we are going to get an I Quit match between John Moxley and Darby Allin in October at WrestleDream. And where it's going to be flamethrowers, there's going to be blood, there's going to be all kinds of bullshit that you would expect. But that feels like it should be the blow-off to this feud with Darby getting John Moxley to quit. That should be the big moment. You know, Hangman was able to get John Moxley to submit at All Out when he was being choked out, right, by the chain over the top rope. And that was the moment that handed Hangman Page the world championship. This should be the moment where Darby Allin gets John Moxley to say the words, I quit. And he gets that big win over the Death Riders, which they have been building to for one full year. That's what we should be getting at WrestleDream. Chris Statlander not joining the Death Riders is the right move. I don't want to see this group expand. I want to see them contract. They got Daniel Garcia. They did not get Chris Statlander. Great. Let's hope they don't get anybody else in the meantime. This Death Rider stuff should be winding down very soon. You know, we joke about it all the time and stuff. It served its purpose, you know, in Tony Khan's mind. John Moxley is the reliable hand. He's always been there for him in times of great strife, right? He has put the championship on Moxley. Moxley in the past has been the MVP for this company. And some people might even say he's been the MVP for them in 2025. I have not been enamored with a lot of the Death Rider stuff that they have done. It's been going on now for about a year. This feels like the right time to be winding it down. Not making it stronger, not expanding it, not turning it into the Judgment Day of AEW. Because there's just not enough there in terms of character development. You want to know why the Judgment Day has succeeded where the Death Riders have not, in my opinion, in terms of what makes one work and not the other? If they wanted this to be like the Judgment Day where they rotate members out and they keep this thing going for years on end, at least with the Judgment Day, we get character development in backstage segments on those shows. And they tend to be a little repetitive, true, but there is a lot of character development. They have rotated new members in and out, and it has helped certain people. It's certainly been a big help to someone like Dominic Mysterio. Certainly been a big help to somebody like Raquel and JD McDonough. What would he be doing if he wasn't in the Judgment Day? He'd be under fucking El Grande Americano's mask. We don't get any of that with the Death Riders. Every week, the music hits, they come through the crowd, right? They stalk through the crowd. When we get a promo, and John Moxley is a very good promo, but it's the same style segments where they're talking to us, he's talking to us, and that's it. Where are the interactions between the different members, you know? Why don't they tease some dissension between certain members? Drop little hints, you know, of something that might be coming down the road. Does Tony have this planned out far enough down the road? as far as where the cracks are going to begin to show. Maybe he doesn't. But we don't get enough of that with them. Maybe I would actually come to appreciate the Death Riders and find them interesting if we had some of that. Imagine Pac in some of these backstage segments where everybody is interacting and talking and Pac is just standing there like a fucking mute. And they're trying to get him to open up a little bit, you know? But we don't get any of that. So it's not interesting to me. I want it to be over with. That's one of the biggest problems I have with it. The 6-year anniversary episode of Dynamite coming out next week. Kyle Fletcher, hologram for the TNT Championship title versus Streak. Jurassic Express is going to be back on the show. Darby Allin and Chris Statlander will be tag team partners against Wheeler Yuta and Marina Shafir. And then Jon Moxley, Claudio, and Daniel Garcia take on Hangman Page, Samoa Joe, and Powerhouse Hobbs. That is your current lineup for the 6-year anniversary episode of Dynamite next Wednesday. What did you think of AEW Dynamite from Pittsburgh? 34.8% thumbs up, 22% thumbs in the middle, 43% thumbs down for this Dynamite show tonight. We are less than 50 likes away from the Be the Booker goal. Don't know if we're going to hit it, but we are less than 50 away. So if you haven't already done so, hit that thumbs up. Take a look at your super chats here. Thank you again for hanging out here on another Wednesday night. Even when you don't enjoy Dynamite, we try to make it entertaining around here. There were certainly some things to laugh at here on this show tonight. X hates AEW. X hates everything. That's why it's a complete cesspool. We got Death Scythe is starting us off here. What's going on, Death Scythe? He says, it's great that we're getting Cena versus Styles, but it's also funny how some people complain how this retirement tour is filled with guys Cena has already wrestled. And these are the same people who want John Cena to face AJ Styles, a guy that he has already wrestled. Yeah, because they want great matches. You know, Cena and Punk was a very good match. Wasn't as good as Cena and Cody at SummerSlam, which is also a repeat of a match from earlier this year of a person he already wrestled. So I think people are willing to let it slide just because it is a match, I think, coming into this tour that people were hoping to see. Not knowing it was going to come when he only had like 3 matches left. I can't wait. I'm very happy it's happening. Thank you, Death Scythe. Terrible dry chicken without flavor. A blue Rhea Ripley, by far, is one of the best happy accidents that she has received. I would turn all that blue mist into war paint. Says one of these days, a female WWE wrestler will kiss Asuka to get the mist out of her mouth and spit it right. What the fuck? That's the, they did that spot actually with Nakamura and the Great Muta. He sucked the mist out of his mouth and spat it back at him. It's already been done. Oh, yeah. He said just like Nakamura did to Muta, yes. That's true. He also says if he was in charge of Cena's retirement tour, I would love to borrow Darby Allin's production team for cinematic video packages. I mean, they don't have to be Darby Allin's team. Just do cinematic packages. I mean, WWE's done plenty of cinematic stuff before. It says MJF needs to buy purple pants and a suit, dye his hair green, and tell everyone, let's put a smile on that face. Claudio's and Powerhouse Hobbs's entrances tonight. Well, they both came out of the crowd, right? I believe they both came out of the crowd. AEW's women's tag teams are knocking on your door, Solo, and they're saying, peekaboo, we're here. It was only a matter of time. We've known this is coming for quite a while. Hulkling 93. When Pac hopped up on the apron, I thought it was Manu Ginobili. Okay, yes. Maybe that's who I'm thinking. I said, man, like, he reminds me of someone. Maybe it is Manu. Maybe I am thinking of Ginobili, a very, like, short version of Ginobili. Also, Statlander's moment felt like an homage to the DDP NWO moment. Well, whether it was intended that way or not, that's exactly what it was. Just not as good, but it would be very hard to match that moment. Leopoldo, yes. Oz and Glorious is telling you that. Hit that like button, you filthy animals. Yeah, we have about 21 more to go. If we are to do Be the Booker tonight. Fox. Fox is with us. What's going on, Fox? Fox says, oh, you got me, brother.
Oh, you got me, brother.
Ah, you got me. You got me all right with that $20 super chat. Thank you, Fox. Oz and Glorious, Tony Khan. If you're listening, I'd like a lengthy program with Hangman and Roosh. Also, less shitty Daniel Garcia on TV beating legends, please. It's been 4 years and nobody cares. Give it a rest. Duff's Viz says, I bought a pen that I can use to write underwater. It's cool. I can write other words also. Says, I used to be addicted to soap, but I'm clean now. Well, good. I'm glad you're off that stuff. That stuff will kill you. Especially if you're a wrestling fan, apparently. Duff's Vids also says, I told my doctor I broke my arm in two places. He said to stop going to those places. I've been okay ever since. Oz and Glorious, birthday tomorrow. Says LFG82 Libras, hit that like button. Well, everybody wish Oz and Glorious a very happy birthday. He says tomorrow, but it's now after midnight, so I assume now it's your birthday. And then my birthday hat with me right now. But happy birthday, brother. I hope it's a great one. Duff's Vid says, what kind of building weighs the least? A lighthouse. Naturally. Of course. See, that makes sense. The Mount Vernon Kid, Christopher Bennett. Hey, Solo. Saw your tweet this afternoon about your aunt. That put a smile on my face. I'm going to keep her in my prayers. Thank you, brother. Yeah, I posted an update yesterday on Twitter. Spent a good part of the day at the hospital, and she actually started moving her feet. And we were not expecting that, so it was a very emotional thing. She was not supposed to have feeling below the waist, so that was a very good sign. Now we're just waiting. They had to do a tracheotomy. So she's still breathing with the ventilator. She was communicating, trying to kind of mouthed the words. She was very uncomfortable. I felt very helpless. She was feeling like, I can't breathe. Even though her breathing was fine, the machine is doing the breathing for her. Her lung has collapsed. So the quicker they can get her off that, I'm sure she'll be a lot more comfortable and we'll be able to communicate with her. But yeah, it's she's still in rough shape. But being able to see that was like, that made our day. Duff's Vid says, what kind of pants do Mario and Luigi wear? Demon. See, that one I don't get. What am I missing here? Demon. We got more. What was your favorite match last Saturday? Honestly, it's between Io and Stephanie or the Unified Title Three-Way. I think I would probably go with Okada, Takeshita, and Mascara Dorada. I think that might have been it. I thought that three-way was fantastic. Cubby Blues. What's your favorite AEW pay-per-view since it started? I don't know. There's been so many really great ones that they've had over the years. I always think of All Out from 2021. That was a really fun show. It's hard to say, though, which one. I don't know. I mean, All Out last year? I'm sorry, not All Out. All In. All In last year is pretty high up on my list. So maybe one of those two. But also, you know, Revolution last year with Sting's retirement was a great one. So, I don't know. Take your pick. If you're looking for a recommendation, I just gave you three great ones. Let's see some more in the chat. If anyone's looking for a good recommendation to go back on HBO Max and watch an old AEW pay-per-view. Chris, with a 15. Not going to lie, Solo, but all this talk about wrestlers from Pittsburgh, and they didn't mention Kurt at first, was getting me a little heated until later on they started mentioning Kurt Angle. Well, Taz mentioned him. So, you got to mention Kurt. I mean, if you're going to be in Pittsburgh, I mean, they're not going to mention Corey Graves. He's a Pittsburgh guy. They're not going to mention him. But I know Taz gave a shout out to Kurt Angle. Philip Bowman, which spot was worse and which would you rather take? A syringe through the mouth from All Out 2024? Or a screwdriver through the ear, Hell in a Cell 2018. How about neither? I would never agree to either of those spots. As far as which one was worse, anything with needles is worse. So the syringe was worse. Syringe in the mouth. So that one was worse. I am not taking either one of them. And anybody who tells me I have to, my answer to them, if some promoter came over and told me I had to do that, would be, fuck you, I don't work for you anymore. And that would be the end of that. Dried Chicken says, belts. Says, fuck it, I'll take my chances with AEW title belts. Bloated roster, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's reload this here and get some of the new ones here on this list. Here we go. There's Death Scythe with that vintage coal tar. It feels like the match to do at WrestleMania 42 is Punk and Cody, considering both men got injured within 2 months of their WWE returns, and they both won the Match of the Year Slammy Award for their individual matches against Roman and Drew, but everything else is in the way. Everything else is in the way right now, but they could always pivot in a different direction. I'll tell you what. As time has gone on here, and the issue clearly between them is still not over, I actually don't want to see Punk and Rollins. If the idea is to do that at WrestleMania, like I'm done, like I'm over it. It's time to move on. I know this is a Triple H thing. He spends so much fucking time, and we're not just talking about like long term booking. Yeah, long-term stories are great, but like he has this tendency to just, it just goes on forever and it just gets fucking boring. It's time to move on to something else. I'm with you. Like the idea of Cody and Punk is a lot more interesting to me than doing another Punk and Seth match. Because they've been feuding for 2 years now. I mean, when does it end? They made it a little bit more interesting by throwing the wives in there. So we got a mixed tag match at WrestlePalooza, but it's like they're going to circle back around to this. And I'm just at the point now where I just don't give a shit anymore. It's like, can we be done with this, please, and move on to something different for both these guys? Just end this. Alex says, brother Solo, is there even a tiny chance that we get Edge versus Cena at Saturday night's main event? No. No, there is not. I hope you're having a good night, though, Alex. Sorry to burst your bubble, but the answer is no. And Deathside says, if Rhea Ripley was covered in green mist, she would have looked like the smoking hot version of Gruntilda from Banjo-Kazooie. Best game over ending ever. Banjo-Kazooie? I thought you were going to say she would look like the Jolly Green Giant. Denim. Oh, okay. Like the soundtrack for the Mario game. Denim. Is that? I didn't know how people spelled it out that way. Denim. I'm thinking of something completely different. You should have just said that. See, now I understand. She-Hulk. Yeah, she would have looked like She-Hulk. She'd make a great She-Hulk. Kicking everybody's asses. Don't make her mad. I still say she'd look like a Smurf. Oh, man. All right, let's see here. We have a terrible dried chicken. From 1 to a million, what are the chances of Okada winning the AEW World Heavyweight title? Well, it's better than 1. How much better than 1? I can't tell you. I don't think it's that much better than 1. I don't see him winning the world title anytime soon. I don't see him winning the world title in 2026. Maybe 2027. Moore says, thought you were going to hang Fletcher, but I agree. Hang Fletcher? For what? But you know what I just noticed? I noticed that the streak is over, everybody. We are officially at 406 likes. The streak of no be the booker here for the Dynamite streams is officially over. As hologram streak will be over next week when he loses to Kyle Fletcher. And that means that we are going to be doing Be the Booker here in a moment. Let me just take a look at some of these member chats here. Again, Jamie Hillier, new channel member, gifted 5 memberships to Christopher Perez, Riagu, Bearwolf, Temjin Zephyr, and Dooley Sand. Thank you, Jamie. Rojo Bear 24 with 24 months of channel member, or 43 months, I'm sorry, 43 months of membership. If Andrade returns to AEW, I would like to see him face Hangman for the AEW World Championship. It'd be a great match. But I'll tell you what, instead of waiting for him to come back to AEW and wrestle Hangman, you know what you could do? You could buy a ticket for the House of Glory Super Clash because we got Andrade coming in on November 15th at the big event in New York. The big event is the big convention there. We're doing a show at the big event and we got Andrade. And tickets are on sale right now, so check that out first. Oh, okay. Moore says Hangman Fletcher. I thought you said Hang Fletcher. I'm like, what are you talking about? Hang him for what? Hangman Fletcher is my match of the week. It was an excellent match, but I didn't like it as much as I liked that 3-way match. Steven Chapa, 53 months of membership. Thank you for getting me through my night run, Solo. A hot and gross, humid South Texas night. It's easier with the best pod man in the business. Well, hey, any way I can help out, I'm here to serve. It's actually, it got really hot and muggy here in New York the last couple of days. And then tomorrow it's going to rain like a bitch. And then it's going to cool off a little bit. But all of a sudden, you know, we were kind of going down, down, down. And then today it was like 82 and muggy and humid. Ugh. I had some dark chocolate covered almonds downstairs and they're just like, they're all melded together now. It's like, I wouldn't have bought them if I knew that was going to happen. Yep. Andrade is coming to Hog. We just made the announcement yesterday. So stay tuned for details on who he'll be wrestling. But yeah, the only other appearance that he's been announced for is for the Crash in Mexico. So we're the first announcement of him domestically getting back there on the indie scene. Ed Swoggle, 32 months of membership. How many apples grow on an apple tree? All of them. Justice is a dish best served cold. Otherwise, it's just water. Thank you, Ed Swoggle. Yeah, dark chocolate covered almonds are the best. I can't have the milk chocolate ones, but the dark chocolate ones, especially the ones from Fairway, those are the best. All right, so here's some words I haven't said in a few weeks. It's time to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Be the booker. Oscar is visiting New York City in November. Any place recommendations? I don't have as many as you may think for November. I mean, maybe for the summer I would. So I'm sure people in the chat can help out. I mean, I tell people all the time, especially if you've not been to New York before, Central Park is huge, but Central Park is beautiful. I would definitely go walking through Central Park. You won't even be able to walk through all of it. There's the High Line, which is really it's like an elevated park, really. But it stretches over, I want to say a mile and a half, maybe, right in the middle of the city. And they have, as you're walking along, they have different, you know, restaurants and things going on. But it's called the High Line. I would walk the High Line. If I think of anything else, I'll let you know. But let's do this. We got tag team Be the Booker coming up first. So let's do that. Oh, it's her. We got the Body Donnas. It's Skip and Zip. And then we have Ms. DUI here in the middle. Haven't heard her name mentioned lately. Good, that's the way it should be. I'd like it to stay that way. Randy Orton forces Adam Pearce to add a stipulation to your match. How long has Adam Pearce been the general manager of this show for? My God. All right, well, we haven't even picked the other tag team yet. We have to pick a stipulation now for this match. A parking lot brawl. The Body Donnas are going to be in a parking lot brawl. Oh my God, Sunny in the parking lot? That's very dangerous. Keep your eye on her. She goes anywhere near any of these cars, tackle her to the ground immediately. It's the last place that Tammy needs to be, is a fucking parking lot. Oh my God, the Body Donnas against the Mean Street Posse. A parking lot brawl. You just picture, like, they're having a parking lot brawl and Tammy just gets behind the wheel of one of the cars and just runs all three of them down. Poor Mean Street Posse. They never stood a chance. This is a ding. You got a ding in your head. I'm not giving that the ding. All right, women's Be the Booker. We have the Ring of Honor Forever Champion, Athena. A fine choice. More belts. Athena against Alexa Bliss. Two women that have held many championships in their day. Actually, two women who have championships right now as we speak. And they're about the same size, too. It's actually a pretty even match. All right, our main event, our one and only main event tonight. We got to make it a good one. Hook. See, Hook is not ready for the main event. He has no business being in the main event. That's the problem. Rey Mysterio Jr. against Hook in the main event. I actually think Rey is a good person for Hook to be working with, but I just can't. I can't bell that for the main event. He's not ready. Like Kyle Fletcher said after his loss to Hangman Page, I may not be ready yet, but I will in the future. For Hook's sake, I hope he gets ready for the main event at one point. But right now, that point is not now. I'm sorry to say. We went 1-for-3 in our first Dynamite Be the Booker in a month. So we'll have to do better if we do it next week. Well, I'm sure we'll do it on Friday and Monday, but Wednesdays, I don't know, man. We need Tony to amp up the excitement on these shows so that we can get more people excited about Dynamite. All right, let's take a look at these final super chats here. Dry Chicken says, we need to send Triple H a cheeseburger, greasy fries, and fried chicken. Are you trying to kill Triple H? Is that what you're trying to do? Fried food is the last thing he needs. And I wish Shawn Michaels was in charge of the main roster. You keep feeding Triple H like that, he will be. And Duff's Vids, you got to hand it to short people. They can't reach it on their own. You're going to have a lot of very angry people coming your way, Duffs. You better be careful. Be biting you on your ankle. Hook's new theme sucks. Yeah, it's pretty terrible. Apparently, he picked it himself. It doesn't work. It doesn't fit him at all. It's just, as an entrance theme, it's terrible. Dominic is ready. Dominic may well be wrestling John Cena soon. He may be one of John Cena's final opponents. I could see that happening. Whether it's for the Intercontinental title or not, that's a different story. It's time to clog the veins. Probably the worst theme I've ever heard, says Beowulf. You mean it's worse than Rob Conway's old theme? Of all the terrible themes we could think of, I don't know if I'm prepared to say that Hook's theme is the worst of them all. Devin from New Jersey. Where does Yokozuna rank for Solo as one of Brett's all-time rivals? Not in my top three. He's probably somewhere in the middle. Like, when I think of Brett's top feuds, I think of Shawn Michaels, I think of Steve Austin, I think of Owen Hart. And even still, I definitely would put Diesel ahead of him because they had some great matches together. Yeah, I mean, Goldberg may be the number one Brett feud now. So Yoko's on the list, not at the very bottom, but he's closer to the bottom than the top. I don't consider him to be one of Brett's all-time great rivals. They got two WrestleMania main events together, but I can't call him one of Brett's all-time great rivals. That I can do. Death Scythe. Imagine if AJ Styles wins the Intercontinental title from Dom and his match against Cena is for the title. That would be interesting. Because, I guess AJ... Is AJ getting a shot this Monday? Did they announce an Intercontinental title match this Monday? Oh, no, it's Rusev. It's not AJ, it's Rusev. All right, the next time I'm live with you here on this channel will be Friday night. We got to talk about SmackDown coming up. We got a triple threat match for the Women's Championship. Tiffany Stratton, Nia Jax, and Jade Cargill. So that's on Friday. Tomorrow is Tuesday Night Titans on a Thursday. It's Thursday Night Titans because we didn't do it last night. So we're doing TNT on JD's channel tomorrow night. We'll have plenty to talk about there. So you got me tonight. You got me tomorrow. You got me Friday. Sound off 9:31 this Sunday. And then back for the Raw post show live next Monday. So you got plenty of me coming your way. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but as long as you're with me here, it's all that matters. Be well. Stay safe. I will see you for TNT tomorrow and the SmackDown post show on Friday night here on YouTube. Until then, take care, guys.